Brother Danny Castle is pastor of Shining Light Baptist Church in Morganton, North Carolina. And we've been doing stuff like this for a long time. He's been a blessing to me and encouragement to me. And I've learned a lot of stuff from him. And won't you pray for him tonight? We've got some other things we're going to do, but I just thank you. He needs to come tonight and preach to us right now. So you pray for him tonight.
Amen. Amen. It's good to be in church tonight, isn't it? Oh, it's good to see the church house filled on Wednesday evening. And God knows we need church. The Lord knows we need it. We are living in a time that most of us preachers didn't think we'd ever see. And we're there. We used to preach back in 1993. We'd be back in the millennium by now. And here it is. We're still here. And it's a dangerous, scary time. Tomorrow night, I want you to try to call somebody tonight or tomorrow and get everybody you can here for the service tomorrow night. I'm going to be doing a brand new multimedia video presentation on the subject of the signs of the times and how close we are to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean,
before you get started, I come out here and these people.
Look out, man.
Just need to get right with God.
Bring them on, brother.
They said they got right. Tell the preacher.
Amen. Amen, brother. Hallelujah. You had a blessing. Say amen right there.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Isn't that good?
God sent somebody to go. Thank God sent me.
Amen, Brother Ricky. Isn't that a blessing? Amen. That's some of that old-time religion still spilling in all of us. Amen. Got a fight going on back there, preacher. I'm on his side. Yeah, I know they told me that. Isn't that a blessing? Yeah, that fella right there.
Bigger they are,
harder. Amen. I was preaching in Florida a few weeks ago, and there'd just been one of them shootings, those terrorist shootings. And there was a woman, something came in the back and started looking weird right in the middle of preaching. And you know, you can just tell. I don't know how you can tell, but you can tell when there's somebody weird comes in. Sometimes we have 20 or 30 of them at our church. I'm a light bulb, and I attract bugs and crazy people. And if you ain't got a few crazy people in your church, you ain't got the right kind of church. Crazy people are attracted to the light. And this woman came in, she stood back there, and I noticed she had a weird look in her face, and every time I'd say something, she'd do like this and everything. And I thought, oh my goodness, I reckon she's all right. And this is in the middle of Florida, just a few weeks ago. And all of a sudden, I was down there preaching, and she came down the aisle right toward me and grabbed me and started hugging me. And then for a second, I thought, this crazy thing might have a knife or a gun. And you ain't supposed to hit a woman. So I just started trying to get away from her. And, you used to never think nothing like that. Somebody back there shouting, you knew somebody's getting right. Half of you in here thought, uh-oh. See, that's the day we're living in, isn't it? That's the day we're living in. Some fool run through the door and start shooting. I hope we're ready. We're ready, ain't we? Okay, I just want to make sure. Our plan is in place. He might get one or two of us, but that'll be all he'll get. But it's a joy to be in church. Who would have ever believed that you would have had to worry about taking guns to church so you could have a worship service? We'd have never believed it, would we? And have guards in the parking lot and stuff like that. So tomorrow night, you want to know about the mark of the beast, the RFID chip. They're putting new tattoos on top of the skin with lights in it to do business transaction. Now. Right now. The world, it's calm in here tonight. But the world out there tonight is rolling. and tossing to and fro. I was over there at the gym beside the motel running this morning, and they had like 4 or 5 TV screens, and I was running on that thing, and it was like earthquake hits here, trouble here. Iran, or somebody fired today or yesterday, missiles within 1,500 yards of our ships, United States ship. That must just happen last night or yesterday. And I saw that this morning. And you could look on those 6 big TV screens, and you see what this world's doing this morning. And while they're trying to get you to worry about Hillary, the world's going to pieces. Somebody said they hoped O'Donnell was the last Trump, because Lord might be coming. I don't know. I don't know what he is. But anyway, we're in a mess. And you'll see that tomorrow night. Don't miss. Listen, I'd be scared. We're going into 2016, uncharted territory. I'd be scared to go to a party of the world on New Year's Eve and not be in God's house praying where we need to be. I'm telling you, I'd be scared too. And so you be here tomorrow night. Don't miss it. Also, Mr. and Ms. Harris here, our folks here from New Mexico, there are internet church members from, they don't have a Bible-believing church near their town. And they have a bunch of DVDs out there on the table that are free. They're revival DVDs and the Creation series by Kent Hovind and some other stuff. I don't know what they've got, but it's free. Take them DVDs and give them out. Be a witness, somebody. Appreciate what Brother Ricky said. He's right on target. If you want your church to grow, visit. Visit. If you'll visit enough, you're going to get somebody. Amen? You start Saturday morning at 9 o'clock, knock on doors at 5 o'clock Saturday evening, I guarantee you somebody will come to church. You throw enough fishing line out there, you're going to catch something. Sooner or later. You may not like what you get, but you'll get something. So I appreciate the message, brother. That was encouraging. You know what they did in the Bible? They went house to house. Amen. And I appreciate Brother Dennis getting to come be with us tonight. He had a little accident, and I'm glad he's feeling better and being with us tonight. And I have thoroughly enjoyed. Let's open our Bibles tonight to the book of Amos in the Old Testament, the book of Amos. And right near the end of the Old Testament. And when you find the book of Amos, raise your hand, please. The book of Amos. The book of Amos. I'll see what y'all been doing. The book of Amos. It's right after Andy. Amos in the Old Testament. I'm going to read a part of some of these verses tonight. And I will bring you a message that the Lord has put on my heart. Amos chapter number 1. Look at that gigantic earthquake they had in verse 1. There's another one coming real soon. There's an earthquake going to hit this world, at probably 2 more, that's going to shake America like it's never been shook before. Come tomorrow night and you'll see that, the proof of it. Now look at verse 3. Thus saith the Lord, for 3 transgressions of Damascus and for 4. The Lord words stuff like that once in a while. Like 62 and 7. Like the Lord and our God shall come. For 3 transgressions and for 4. I will not turn away the punishment thereof. Verse 6. Thus saith the Lord. For 3 transgressions of Gaza and for 4. I will not turn away the punishment thereof. Verse 9. Thus saith the Lord. For 3 transgressions of Tyrus, and for 4, I will not turn away the punishment thereof. Verse 11, thus saith the Lord, for 3 transgressions of Edom, and for 4, I will not turn away the punishment thereof. Verse 13, thus saith the Lord, for 3 transgressions of the children of Ammon, and for 4, I will not turn away the punishment thereof. Chapter 2, verse 1, thus saith the Lord, for 3 transgressions of Moab, and for 4, I will not turn away the punishment thereof. Verse number 4, thus saith the Lord, for 3 transgressions of Judah, and for 4, I will not turn away the punishment thereof. Verse 6, that's 8 times he said it. Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Israel and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof. I realize that's an Old Testament setting with God's dealings with Israel, the children of Jacob, Jacob's trouble that's coming one day in the future. Understand that. But in it, there's Old Testament truths that have New Testament bearing also. As some man said one time, the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. The New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. There's many types and shadows in the Old Testament that don't make sense without the New Testament truths. Daniel and the book of Revelation, for example. You can't have one without the other. They're intertwined and interlocked. So here in these scriptures, the Lord was telling them, he said, you've done three and four, and I told you I'm going to get you for that. You've done it again, three and four, and I told you I'm going to get you for that. And over and over and over and over and over. Now, when you were little, he mentioned it. Some other preacher mentioned it this morning about their mama getting them. And all of us have had it done to us, and all of us have said it to our kids. Little boys out here, he pushes his sister down in the mud puddle. All right, boy, you better straighten up. You go back in here in the house, and bam, he does it again. He kicks her and makes her cry. All right, boy, I'm telling you, you better watch out. I'm going to come out there and get you. You all right, can hear me? There he goes again. You come out again. Boy, I'm telling you, I'm one more time, you're going to get it. Now he starts thinking, I've got by with it this many times. I ain't never going to get a whipping. That's about the shape about half y'all are in right here tonight. You think the Lord ain't done nothing yet, and I'm doing this and I'm doing that. I smoke a little weed every now and then. I drink on the side. I party a little bit. I sleep with my boyfriend and I do that, but he ain't done nothing yet. And then the Lord looks down one day and your kid does that one night. And you grab them up and say, boy, are you asking for trouble? How many of you have had that said to you or said that to one of your kids? Raise your hand, please. You're asking for it. I want to preach tonight on that thought. Are you asking for trouble? Evidently, some people must just be asking God, hit me, Lord, come on. The Lord said he chastens every son whom he receiveth. And he chastens those that he loves. And I'm glad that he's a good daddy and he won't let us just live any way without chastening his children. He's a good parent. Amen. One man said, well, I don't know. Listen, I asked somebody one time, I said, have you ever had a whipping from the Lord? That's a dumb, if you've never had one, you know it. I know when the Lord's whipping me, don't you? I mean, it's evident. Okay, I know what this is, you know. I mean, you know, God ain't going to stop you from sinning. You do whatever you want to. You can go out here tonight and do something stupid if you want to, but you ain't going to stop him from ducking your brains out one of these days neither. You will reap it. And to he that soweth to his flesh, Christians shall of the flesh reap corruption. There's a payday coming. We reap our sin. So tonight, with that thought in mind, I want to say a few things about it. Now, first of all, I'd like to say you're asking for trouble when you run from the Lord's will. When God's dealing with you about something, especially other men say, I felt like God called me to preach and I wouldn't surrender. And I felt like the Lord wanted me to preach. I had a car wreck. And then I felt like God wanted me to preach. And my wife left me. I felt like God wanted me to preach. And then I broke my leg. And then I felt like God. And I mean, you're asking for trouble if you run from God's will. So Jonah, he is walking down the road one day like this. And the Lord said, hey, preacher. He said, yes, sir. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Lord. I'm ready for duty. And the Lord said, I need somebody to go preach a revival for me. And he said, yes, third glory to God, you're the man. I'm the man right here. I'm your man. What do you want me to do? He said, I want you to go down to Nineveh and preach to them heathen. And Jonah said, I thought you meant First Baptist of Jerusalem. And the Lord said, nope, Nineveh. And Jonah said, how about Second Baptist of Jerusalem? I don't want to go down there to Gentile heathen. And the Lord said, nope, I want you to go to Nineveh. You know what Jonah did? You know what Jonah did? He went away from the presence of God. You see, the book of Jonah has four chapters. Chapter 1, Jonah runs from God. Chapter 2, he got fixed up and Jonah run to God. Chapter 3, Jonah runs with God. That's the only chapter he was right. And chapter 4, Jonah run ahead of God. But anyway, he got there and he said, I'm going down. And he went down to Joppa. And then he went down and bought him a cruise. He said, I'm going on a cruise. I ain't going to preach no revival. I've worked hard all my life. I'm just going to take me a cruise. And he went down and bought him a ticket. And then he went down, got on the boat. And then when he went to the boat, he went down. And then he got down into the sides and he laid down, went to sleep. He went down to Joppa. He went down to the water. He went down to the boat. He went down. Now tell me, when he left God's will, which way did he go? Down, 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 down. I don't care what you say. You ain't got a better plan figured out than God's got. If God wants you over to Little Baptist Church on the back side of the mountain of Timbuktu, you'll be happier there than you would be in a mansion driving a brand new Cadillac out of the will of God. We are asking for trouble when we run from God. By the time old Jonah, brother, got his degree from whale, and brother, he come out of there, I have a seaweed wrapped around his neck and whale puke all over him and hit the shores of Nineveh. Bless God, he's ready to preach revival then. And he come in and said, 40 days. And brother, 120,000 people that was in the nursery, I couldn't even tell right and left, got saved by the grace of God. I'm telling you tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we get ourselves in trouble when we run from the Lord. Let me tell you something about the will of God, young people. God's will, it will not hurt you. He knows what's best for you. Anything he tells you to do is for your good. And you'll be better off just to go ahead and do right. I know people think, well, I believe God wants me, but I just think, yeah, you better just quit that thinking and just say, Lord, not my will. You ain't smart enough to know what's going to happen next week or next month or next year or who you ought to marry or what you ought to do with your life. You better say, God, whatever you want me to do, that's what I'll do. We hurt ourselves and we ask for trouble when we run from the Lord. Listen, I know a bunch of old boys up there in North Carolina. And they've been beat to death. They've been in car wrecks. They'll come in with black eyes. They'll come in with their lips swelled out like this. What happened to you? I got drunk last night and got another DUI. And I got my license. And I'm thinking, you're asking for trouble. I mean, when you go out there and run from God like that, and then they come in and say, well, Danny, I got in a fight last night, and will you go to court with me this weekend or Monday morning and be a character witness for me? I say, well, I'll go if you want me to. I don't know what I can say. I know him. Yeah, that's about it. But I want to tell you something, brother. You're asking for some people just asking for trouble. Do you know that? You're asking for trouble when you run from God's will. Ladies and gentlemen, physical trouble, financial trouble, domestic trouble. There's a lot of people. There's people in here tonight. You are in a mess. And the reason you're in a mess, because you will not surrender and do what God wants you to do. Now, we have trouble no matter what we do. Even if we are right, we still have trouble. But I don't want my trouble because of my disobedience. I said some people have trouble when they run from the Lord. Number two, you're asking for trouble when you break your vows to God. I understand that that's an Old Testament concept also. I know what Ecclesiastes says. I understand it's better not to make a vow than to make a vow and not pay it. I got all that. But there's been a lot of times when people have gotten trouble. And when trouble comes, they say, Lord, if you'll get me out of this, in foxholes, in the hospital waiting room, or in jail, I could name you all people. Our kids that are here tonight knows people. People used to stand right here and come down here with us and sing and say, Lord, if you'll get me out of this, I will not miss a Sunday. I will go to church. I will serve you. I'll do right. And just as soon as the trouble's over and the judge says case dismissed, or the weather clears up, or the money comes in, or the house payment gets paid, you go right back and live just like you was living and forget what you said. God, you're asking for trouble. You're asking for trouble when you break those vows. Amen. Like I talked about Peter last night, who said he would never betray him. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a mess that we're living in today with making our vows to God and going back. You're just asking for trouble. But quickly, let me say thirdly tonight, and I'll move. I want to spend some time on these other ones. Number three tonight, you're asking for trouble when you touch God's anointed man. I understand also that's an Old Testament prophet concept. I got it. But there's still a New Testament sense, which if God's got his hand on somebody and God's got a man preaching, I believe I'd leave him alone if I was you. And where I go, people try their best to pull me and get me to say something bad about some other preacher or something like that. And you're not going to get me to do it. I just ain't going to do it. Listen, I say to his own master, he stands or falls. Brother, I'm telling you, if God's called a man to preach, I wouldn't mess with him. If he's wrong, God will straighten him out. I tell you what I believe. I believe that God puts a man as a pastor of a church. Brother Brandon's a pastor here at this church. If he stood up right now and said, all right, Danny, that's enough, sit down, I'd close my Bible and go over there and sit down. He's the pastor of this church. He deserves our respect and our reverence. If he's wrong, it's between him and God. I'm telling you tonight, listen, we need to teach our kids to respect God's man. He ain't Brandon. He's Pastor Brandon. He's Brother Brandon. He's Pastor Bruce. Amen. It's his title, brother. He's God's man. And you're asking for trouble when you, you know what that old kids over there in the Old Testament, when they come out there making fun of that bald-headed preacher, what happened to them, don't you? Amen. Those people don't even believe that's true. She bears come out and tore up 42 of them, buddy, laying around. How's that for a nursery visit in your church on Sunday morning? And they touch God's anointed. Ladies and gentlemen, they touch God's anointed. Hey, man, I've heard story after story after story of people who fell dead. I heard of a church where a deacon's church split, and they come padlock the church door, and because they split, and that half didn't want the other half, you know, good Christian fellowship. And you ain't qualified to pastor a church unless you've been through at least one old-fashioned Baptist split. You ain't got no business, Pat. It'll come. You just wait. It'll come. If it ain't hit you yet, it's going to. He padlocked the door of the church, and one of the deacons went down there and took a saw and sawed the chain off and put his own lock on there. And the next thing you know, buddy, he fell dead with a heart attack about 2 days later, and they had church on Sunday morning, and that boy was buried in his grave. You're asking for trouble when you fight God's man, touch God's anointed. Lord have mercy, I ain't much of a preacher, but I tell you one thing, it's unbelievable. I don't put stuff on the internet. I've never put nothing on the internet in my life, but somebody sure has, because I am all over it. And we get calls and emails, literally from other countries, Australia, Africa. I mean, all the time. I said, who in the world? I mean, there's people. It's unreal. You heard, I was up in Maryland preaching. They said, Danny, this boy sitting down, he said, Danny, did you know that they got you preaching on a rock and roll album? I said, no, they do not. He said, they do too. I said, wait a minute. He said, one of these old heavy metal bands. And he told me the name of it. I said, I don't believe that. And so I called one of my youngest daughter, called Corey, home. I said, Corey, get on the internet and find a group called Pig Destroyer. Pig Destroyer is the name of the group. Pig Destroyer. Now, the first thing I thought was them demons went in the pigs. And they went down there and committed homicide. So I thought, I know what a Pig Destroyer is. Let's just name our band the Demons. And sure enough, she sent me a text. It's you, Daddy. I sent her one back. Are you sure? She sent one back. No doubt about it. She's heard me preach since before she was born. And brother, she said, Daddy, it's you. I said, Lord, have mercy. They got on there, you know, and sure enough, somebody got on there and let me hear it. And I was reading a poem about cocaine and how cocaine will destroy your family and home. And it's got me on there preaching. And then a bunch of Kill Your Mama music comes on. And the next thing you know, boy, you can hear me in the background again. That's right. That music makes you want to kill your mama. We ain't got time for a music seminar tonight, but I'd like to give you one. Some of y'all been listening to that old Get Drunk, Leave Your Wife music. Some of y'all been listening to Jungle Thump. Some of you been listening to Hit You in the Head music, Break Up music. But I ain't got time to get into that. But anyway, somebody called me and they said, Danny, did you know that you were on the Huffington Post? I said, I don't even know what Huffington Post is. I don't spend time on the internet. Once in a while, if I have to, I look up something. If most of you'd cut yours down about 80%, read your Bible, you wouldn't be in the mess you're in tonight. You want to be entertained all the time. That's your problem. This will be on Nosebook tonight before I get through preaching. I done heard back home. We've been watching it on Nosebook and saying, and brother, let me tell you something. They said, you're on the Huffington Post. I said, what's that? They said, it's a worldwide news organization, and they've got you on there. I've done that video where I blasted that cartoon about wonder shows in it. I might have done it down here several years ago. And I show a little bit of the clip of this cartoon. And it's got this, this boy and girl in cartoon going to kill or burn their mom and daddy up. And God commits suicide. And I ranted and raved about it. And they put a big article on the Huffington Post. It's all over Hollywood. And it says, Pastor loses his mind over wonder shows. Evidently, they're ignorant of what Bible preaching is. I feel sorry for them. They didn't even understand what. And you know what? People in church said, Brother Danny, do you know they're saying it? And I got up and said, listen, I consider that a compliment. God have mercy on a preacher that the world likes. Amen. Listen, if they like you, you ain't right. I ain't trying to make no enemy. I just said it's blasphemy, and it was, and it is. I'm telling you, they put that on her. And not long ago, the woman called me, and she was from Pennsylvania. She said, is this Danny Castle? And I said, yes, ma'am. Maybe. Why? She said, I don't talk to you. I said, okay. She said, I just love your preaching. She said, we listen to you all the time. I said, well, praise the Lord. I'm glad to hear that, sister. She said, what's your address? I want to send you some money. I told her a church address. She said, I'd like to make a donation to your church. I said, okay. She said, I'm sending you a check for $500 for your church. I said, praise God. I said, we can use it. We appreciate it. And I said, how'd you know about me? She said, you know what? She said, I have a friend of mine at work. She said, she's just looking, and she was watching the news or looking on the internet or something. And she said, there was an ad on the Huffington Post. And she said, we got to looking at that. And she said, look at this. They're making fun of a North Carolina preacher on the Huffington Post. And she said, we started listening. And my friend said, I like that guy. He knows what he's talking about. And she said, we've been listening ever since. And you know what? And they did send the money in, and I put it in the church. And God bless, you know what I said? I said, hallelujah, that's the way the Lord works. I'm telling you, brother God, you can't stop God's preaching. You can't stop God's preacher. Listen, he used a reprobate Huffington Post and got us $500 offering sent. Glory to God, if he can use Pharaoh to pay Moses' diaper bill and take care of him, he can use the reprobate heathen to keep our work going for the glory of God. You better leave God's man alone. You better leave him alone. I'm telling you, you're asking for trouble all the way through the Bible. God takes up for his man. You're asking for trouble when you make fun of God's man and disrespect him. Number three, right quickly. You're asking for trouble when we form an unequal yoke with the world. Now, the Lord done told you not to do it. It's funny to me. God said, don't do it, 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 don't do it. You go right on and do it. And then say, preacher, I don't know why everything's messed up in my life. Nothing's right. I mean, I thought he loved me, and now he's off out yonder somewhere. And all that. You would not listen. You are asking for trouble. We have a girl come to our church once in a while, and boy, they'll come in like these girls sitting on the second row. Praise God, that's good, girls. Crowd on up here as far as you can. And they'll sit there like this, you know. And I mean, they're just eating it up. I mean, they're just soaking up every word you say. And then one Sunday, they miss Sunday school. And about 11 o'clock, they come walking in the back door, and something's got a hold of their arm. I don't know what it is. It's about that tall. Old woolly looking mess. 6'4", 94, you know. Look like that microphone stand right there. Fro and everything. And I'm telling you something, brother. Listen, there they come walking in the house of God. And I think, oh no. She said, preacher, he's my boy. Ain't he cute? Now he don't like Sunday school. And so me and him just gonna, and it ain't long. It ain't long. So she's out there somewhere. Life's already messed up. You know what? You're asking for trouble when you yoke up. Can I say this tonight? All you preachers here this evening, listen, the world's not our friend. Let's get that through our head. Let's get it through our head tonight. The world is not our friend. We don't court the media. In our town a few weeks ago, it was a group. It's on news in Asheville, North Carolina, there in Western North Carolina, where they had given a waiter at a pizza restaurant a nice tip and everything. And they said, isn't it wonderful, these good Samaritans? And that same week, our church, people in our church gave $2,500. We bought 100. We had 220 kids on buses that Sunday morning. That Sunday morning. We had a big crowd. We told them, you're all going to get Christmas presents. Everybody's going to get a Christmas. We had 220 on buses that morning, and we give them all a present and 5 brand new bicycles. We had 5 bus routes. Every bus got to give away a brand new bicycle. And somebody said, boy, that's great. Said the TV, the radio, the newspaper. And I said, don't call them. Them people ain't on our side. I'm telling you, you try to promote yourself using the world, it'll backfire on you. The news media, you ought to know it by now, is led by the devil, by and large. There's probably some good Christian people in there and all that, and that's okay. But by and large, they're led by the devil. We cannot hook up with this world, and every preacher that tries that, it backfires on him. If they don't never come down here and take our picture, fine. If they don't ever put us on the news, hallelujah. We're here to serve God, not for the glory of men. We're in this thing for the ministry, for Jesus Christ, and for souls. And you're asking for trouble when you make an unequal yoke. Here a while back, my youngest daughter, Corey again, she texts me when all that Bruce, Jenner, Caitlin, whatever it is, was going on. She said, Daddy, I can't believe that. They're making a hero out of him. Chim, her, it. Yeah. Yeah. They're making a star out of it. Yeah. She said, why is that? I said, honey, the world will love his own. And you're not of the world, so the world hateth you. It is not going to happen, people. They ain't going to love us and be good to just get it through their hand. Your head. Jesus said, if they hated me, they're going to hate you. She said, Daddy, why do they make a hero? She's an it. What is it? I said, I don't know. I never watched that show. I didn't know. I'd heard. They told me, they said, Lordy mercy, he used to be a good-looking man. I said, you mean a man 67 years old before he figured out he's a woman? 67 and it just hits you? that you ain't a man, you're a woman. I trow not. I'm going to tell you something, brother. Listen, you hear me? Hey, that's what they said, Brother Danny. And a guy told me at church, I said, oh, he's probably a sissy. They said, oh, no. No. He used to be an Olympic runner. He was, a bodybuilder, trainer, fitness. And he was on Wheaties box. I said, what are they going to put him on now? Fruit Loops? That'd be cool, wouldn't it? A picture of Caitlin on a big box of Fruit Loops. That's the West Virginia coming out in me, forgive me. But it'd be funny. About that same time, them Duggars got crucified by the media. The same media that was praising Bruce, Caitlin, whatever it was, giving him awards. Isn't it wonderful that he took this brave, bold stand and come out and finally said who she is and is proud. Who would ever thought you'd be talking about junk like that in the house of God? And brother, they said, who would have believed it? Isn't it wonderful? But they nailed them Duggars. You know why? Because them Duggar people stood for the Lord and read the Bible. And I'm going to tell you something. It's a mistake for them Duggars to get hooked up with the world.
That's right.
If I had old Jim Bob here tonight, and I respect him, I believe he's a good man, I'd say, buddy, you ought to tell that news media to get lost and never come back to your house, raise your kids right. I mean, there's 21 of you. Get you a bus route. Get them kids busy in a local church working and winning souls. Forget Hollywood. Forget trying to be famous. Forget that $40,000 a week they were giving y'all. And brother, tell them to go jump in the lake, swallow a snake, and come back up with a bellyache. I mean, you cannot have nobody on your bus now, 21, every Sunday. You're asking for trouble. By the way, lest any of you self-righteous people have a problem with that. If you got 19 kids and only one of them does something stupid, you're 90 miles ahead of the most people. They're 1,000 miles ahead of them wicked bunch of hypocrites in Hollywood that's talking about them and crucifying the very idea of Joy Behar. And what's her name? Old Ugly. What's old Ugly's name? Whoopee, yeah, the very idea of them getting on there pointing fingers at the Duggars. That's how this world will do a child of God. You're asking for trouble when you yoke up with this world. You're just asking for it. Amen. Next, 5:4, whatever it is. You're asking for trouble when you leave the Father's house. You're asking for it. How many people we know? How many people we know that have been in church, served God, did right, little by little, maybe a promotion at job, at work. Now, I guess the same here as it is at where else. You have get a promotion and you don't want to be identified with a bunch of old redneck, Bible-thumping, breath-beating fanatics like us. You done moved up into a little higher class of sinner. And there's high class sinners and there's low class sinners, but they're all sinners. And I have a church, and the next thing you know, your job transfers you to Atlanta, or your job transfers you to Jacksonville. And then the preacher has a talk. He said, now listen, are you sure? Are you sure? Is there a good Bible-believing church you can go to there? Well, I don't know, preacher, but it's just so much money, and the money's good. And I mean, how many times have us pastors heard that story? Check back in a few years. They're not even going to church. Kids is in trouble. Family's busted up. In trouble at all. I'm telling you, you're asking for trouble when you leave the Father's house. You want to make a New Year's resolution? All you mamas and daddies in here, let me give you a good one. I'll make up my mind by the grace of God that I'm going to be in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, revival night. I'm going to get my kids in the house of God. I'm going to serve God new right in 2016. We need so much the more as we see that day approach. Preacher told a story some time ago. He said it pastored a large church. Jack Hiles, who it was. I mean, 1,000 people. He said one Sunday morning, the back door opened to the church, and there was a fine-looking Christian family came in that door. Nice looking young man, all dressed up. Beautiful young wife. Couple of little kids about that high. Just a perfect. You ever seen people like just the perfect family? Looked like it's in a magazine or something. Like Victoria back there and her family. Sorry about that. Where's Joel? Here's we was kidding about being Victoria. Sorry about that. She's mad now. You got to get out here and make us a little talk. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. A low down scum. That's what it says you are. Your throat's an open sepulcher. That's what it says you are. Your heart is desperately wicked, and who can know it? The poison of asp is under your lips, buddy. You ain't nothing special. Well, anyway, they came to church. He said they joined the church and became faithful. Every time a door was open. He said, he just made up this name, Bob Tate. That wasn't his real name. He said, I'll just use the name, Bob Tate. He said, they never missed a service. He said, actually, it wasn't long until we made them Sunday school teachers. They had a Sunday school class. And they taught Sunday school in our church and never missed nothing. One day, he noticed on a Wednesday night that Bob Tate and his wife was not there. Everybody's listening to me, ain't you? You don't just get out all at once overnight. You quit going Wednesday night first. Then it's Sunday night. Then it's Sunday school. Then you're just going at 11 o'clock on Sunday. That's how you get out of church. He said Sunday morning they wasn't there. The next Sunday they was. The next Sunday they wasn't. The next two Sundays they were. The next two Sundays they wasn't. Finally they just disappeared. He said time went on. He said the church grew. People got saved. You know, we have a way of letting, you sort of have a way of forgetting about people after a while. You know, I mean, we all do that. That's awful. But sometimes after a year, you forget, you just about forget all about them. One day, 20 years later, he said he got one, the secretary brought the mail, looked at the mail, pastor, First Baptist Church, Hammond, Indiana, he looked, and it said, Bob Tate. He said, that name, Bob Tate. I remember that. That's that man that used to come to our church. And it said, Illinois State Penitentiary. From Bob Tate. He said, he opened that letter and said, Dear Pastor, I don't know if you remember me. My name's Bob Tate. Over 20 years ago, my wife, myself, and our kids started coming to your church. You probably don't remember me. There were so many people there. But he said, Preacher, I'll never forget that Sunday I told you that I was resigning my Sunday school class because we wasn't able to be faithful anymore. And he said, Preacher, since then we've moved off to Chicago or somewhere. And he said, when we got out of church, things went downhill. He said, we fought. He said, we got in arguments all the time. He said, the Lord wasn't in our home like he was. And he said, it was awful. And he said, we kept going down, 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 down. And he said, one night, my kid was at the football game. And he said, we took two different cars, one of the kids playing football or something. He said, I was at the football game. He said, somebody called my house. He said, you better get down there to that school right now. He said, what's going on? I said, I ain't going to tell you, but you just need to get down there. He said, I went to the school, around the back of the school. He said, my wife was in the back seat of the car with a football coach. He said, I took my pistol He said, I lost my head for a minute. And he said, I shot him in the head and I killed her. And he said, preacher, I'm in prison the rest of my mortal life. He said, preacher, I need you to pray for me and tell you. He said, it all started the morning that I resigned my Sunday school class. He said, that's when we started going down, right then. Ladies and gentlemen, asking for trouble when you leave the Father's house.
That's right.
I'm sitting here tonight. I'm going to a New Year's party tomorrow night. Listen, that's a fool thing to do, buddy. You're asking for trouble when you leave God. When you leave God's will. I had a good friend of mine, this boy. His mom and dad was pretty well off and they bought him anything he wanted. He had a new car when he's 17. I think by the time he's 21 or 2, he had like 3 or 4 new cars. They bought him a Honda Accord and he put like 80,000 miles on it, never changed the oil. It was filthy. I mean, he just didn't appreciate nothing. You never seen a kid like that? Little brat, American brat. Didn't appreciate nothing to God. He got saved. When he got saved, all he wanted to do all the time was run around and party and get drunk and smoke pot. He smoked pot every day. And he got saved. And he'd come to the altar and ask God to forgive him. And go back, in a few weeks he's doing it again. And he'd come to the altar and ask God to forgive him. And he'd go back in a few weeks and do it again. He'd come to the altar and ask God to forgive him. He'd call me up, Danny. He said, Brother Danny, you preaching anywhere? Yeah, I'm preaching off down here in Charlotte somewhere. Can I go with you? He'd ride revival back and forth with me. Hour and a half, every night. And then next week he'd be out. And he would cry. He'd say, why can't I stay right? I said, Mike, you've got to make that break, son. You can't keep fooling around with people like that. It's going to keep you getting you into sin. Now, we ain't no better than nobody else, but there's some people you just can't hang around, people. If you got a brain in your head, I can tell you what you are, what you're going to be by the people you run around with. Two can't walk together unless they're agreed. You're going to be just like them people you hang out with. You ain't going to change them, they're going to change you. And I was preaching in Florida, way down in Fort Myers. I preach a big youth rally down there every year. The weekend of Halloween, every year, have for 10 or 12 years. And I flew back to the airport and drove home. And when I got home, I'd been gone for 3 days, and there's a bunch of messages on my answer machine. And I punched that button. Hey, brother, call me back. Hey, brother, call me back. And I hit it, and there was a woman screaming. She said, oh, Brother Danny! Brother Danny, Mike, no! Brother Danny, Mike, no! Just like that, I could barely understand it. It was his mama. He took one pill too many that time, mixed it with alcohol or something, and never did wake up. Just a young man. He gone. That's been 10 years ago, y'all. Cut off in the prime of life. A little boy about that tall. I'm telling you, you're asking for trouble when you deliberately go against what God said. You think you can sleep around, you know, and do that, and there ain't no consequences? You're asking for it. A good God loves you enough to whip you. I think somebody here tonight needs to do business with that God. Let's stand by our heads, please. Every head bowed, every eye closed. No one's talking. Every head bowed, every eyes closed. Whatever y'all got for us tonight. I'd get out of my seat right now, kids. Hey, you boys and girls, teenagers, young people, I'd get in this altar tonight. You ought to thank God there ain't one teenager out of 10 million that get in what you're in here tonight. Come on, girls, that's right. Come on, come on. They're coming. Some of you ladies, come pray with these girls. Amen. Let God speak to your heart. Help us, Lord, tonight. Help us, God, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Sing it, y'all. Sing it. Come on. Let's get out of your seat. Come on, young people. Come on, mamas and daddies. Come on, teenagers. Let's move right now. Let's let God help us. Amen. Hallelujah. That's right. Come on, right now. Amen. Thank God. Come on, mama. Hey, daddy, how about you tonight? How about you, daddy? You been flirting around? How about you, mama? You been messing around with somebody on the internet you ain't got no business talking to? You better get it right. You better get it right tonight. Come on, right? That's right. I need your grace to make it home. That's right. Amen. All I have is you, Lord. Lord, forgive me. Come on, young people. Come on, right now. Amen. That's right. Amen. See it, y'all. Till my dying day. Amen. 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 You come and ask the Lord to forgive you tonight. That's right. Come and ask the Lord to forgive you tonight, will you? Come on. Come on, ma'am. Hey, he's got your number. He'll ring that bell on you. Smack that head. He'll smack that head. You better come on. You're asking for trouble. That's right. Come on. Come on, get in this all or not. Do it the right way. Do it the right way. Come on. Yeah. Hallelujah. Forgive me. Yeah, amen. Great. Come on, daddy. Come on, mamas. Yeah, come on tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Woo! Boy, that's a prayer being answered right there. Yeah, glory to God. Hey, it's about to get right in here tonight. Until my dying day. Well, glory to God. Hallelujah. Come on tonight. Let's obey God. It's your mercy. Come on, folks. Pray. 2015's over. We're going into a brand new year. Let's be right with God. Come on. Mamas, daddies, Sunday school teachers, preachers and singers, parents, come on tonight. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Woo! Yeah, amen. I'm glad I'm saved tonight. I'm glad I'm saved by the grace of God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Please forgive me, Lord. Come on tonight. You come right now. Amen. Amen. It's you. I'm at your mercy. Come on tonight. Come on. Will you serve him until your dying day? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. See, amen. Please. Hey, brother. Amen. You let God speak to you tonight. We're getting ready to go into a brand new year. Don't carry this junk into 2016. Get rid of it. Start all over. Come on. Come on, daddy. You in some kind of relationship you ain't got no business being in on that internet, talking to somebody that ain't right. You better straighten it up. You're asking for trouble. You're asking for trouble. Come on. That's right, ladies. Come on. Thank God, girls. Will you ladies pray with our girls here tonight? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Please forgive me. Ask him to forgive you tonight. Need your grace to make it home. Mercy. Hey, man, serve you. Be serving tonight till my dying day. Yeah, glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. That's old time religion right there. Praise God. Woo! Yeah. Amen. Yeah, thank God. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah, glory to God. Come on tonight, friend. Come on. Come on tonight, friend. Glory to God. somebody sing, "Please forgive me." Sing it with him now. Need your grace to make it home. Amen. All I have is you, Lord. I'm at your mercy. You're going to have to help me. You're going to help me, Lord. Hallelujah. Lord of God. Woo! Sing it to my dying day. Lord of God. I'm at your mercy. Can we get them all up here, preacher? Sing one. I want that Alabama bunch and our kids. All y'all get up here tonight.